Good morning. Welcome to the news from the Yuma Sun. I'm Marcia French, your volunteer reader at Sun Sounds of Arizona. Today is Thursday, June 26th. Some of the articles I'll share with you are, of course, the weather, county officials prepare for a July 15th special primary election, sheriff's office warns of a text messaging scam, CBP stops an attempt to smuggle cocaine, public feedback sought for street study, supervisors approve a final budget, I have one obituary notice, and sports. I'll include the numbers 3 and 4 from the series about revisiting the top 10 games of 2024-25. From the weather, where I'll start, today, Thursday the 26th, it's projected to be a high of 107 degrees, low of 75 degrees, sunny, winds from the south at 11 miles per hour. There's no chance of precipitation included in this forecast for any of the days. Friday, the 27th, it should be 108 degrees and 13 miles per hour winds from the south. Saturday, the 28th, 111 degrees, 82 degrees for the low, sunny again, winds from the south at 8 miles per hour. Sunday the 29th, 112 degrees, 83 for the low, sunny, winds from the west southwest at 9 miles an hour. And Monday the 30th is projected to be a high of 114 degrees with winds from the southwest at 10 miles per hour. My first article, county officials outline preparations for the July 15th special primary election. This is from June 24th. Yuma County election officials updated the Board of Supervisors on Monday regarding preparations for the upcoming July 15th special primary election to fill the congressional vacancy in Arizona's 7th District. This article is by James Gilbert, the Sun staff writer. The special election, called by Governor Katie Hobbs, will fill the seat left vacant by the passing of U.S. Representative Raul Grijalva. The general election is scheduled for September 23rd. At Monday's board meeting, County Treasurer David Lara and Election Services Director Kika Kuzman provided status reports on ballot mailings, staffing, outreach, and logistics. Lara, who is overseeing his first election since taking office, acknowledged the challenges of the role, but said operations are progressing smoothly. "It's definitely been a learning experience," Lara said. "I suppose you never really stop learning, but it's been interesting." He reported that about 27,000 ballots have been mailed, including 106 to overseas and military voters under the Uniformed and Overseas Citizens Absentee Voting Act. As of Monday, 63 ballots had been returned by mail, and 14 voters had cast ballots in person. Laura added that the county has budgeted roughly $74,000 for the primary and expects relatively low turnout, which is typical for primary and special elections. For some reason, people tend to view the primaries as less important than the general election, Laura said. "I'm working to change that, and hopefully we can bring those numbers up over time." He then emphasized efforts to boost participation through media outreach and community engagement. Because only half of Yuma County, specifically those residing in Congressional District 7, is eligible to vote in the special election, Lara described the event as a good opportunity to fine-tune systems ahead of larger elections in November and 2026. Guzman outlined logistical updates, including proposed changes to vote center location. The Foothills Library is being removed from the list because it is outside the district boundary. The Cesar Chavez Community Center, a familiar and accessible location in the southern part of the district, will be added. Additionally, the Summerton Library site will be replaced with a larger nearby location secured in partnership with the City of Summerton. Guzman noted that all ballots may cast at any approved vote center consistent with the county's voting model. She also confirmed that required logic and accuracy testing was successfully completed on June 12th with representatives from the Secretary of State's office and political parties in attendance. The equipment and systems passed all tests, Guzman said. Additionally, a total of 84 election workers and 9 early board members have been recruited for this election. Training sessions began June 3rd and have included instruction on poll pads, ballot printers, provisional ballots, and related procedures. The early ballot board is scheduled to begin its work on June 26th, depending on the volume of ballots received. Guzman also emphasized the importance of clear public communication for a special election held outside the usual cycle and affecting a limited geographic area. We're working closely with the communications team to make sure election information is shared in both English and Spanish, she said. We're also placing signage at vote centers to make it clear this is a CD7-only election. Materials outlining what voters can expect at the polls and how post-election processes will unfold are being finalized and will be distributed in the coming weeks. Looking ahead, Guzman said the county's election equipment, purchased in 2018, is approaching the end of its expected 10-year service life. She plans to begin collecting quotes for updated systems in preparation for the 2026 election cycle. Despite the small scale of the July 15th election, both officials said it provides a valuable opportunity to fine-tune procedures and prepare for higher turnout events in the future. This is a smaller election, but an important one, Guzman said. We're prepared. Next, I'm going to move to the sheriff's office is warning of a text message scam impersonating DMV. This article is by James Gilbert, the Sun staff writer, from June 24th. The Yuma County Sheriff's Office issued a warning Tuesday about a growing text message scam in which fraudsters impersonate the Arizona Department of Motor Vehicles in an attempt to steal money or personal information. The scam messages claim recipients owe unpaid traffic tickets or fees and risk losing their vehicle registration, driver's license, or credit score if immediate payment is not made. The messages typically include links to fake payment portals designed to steal sensitive data or install malware. These fraudulent messages are designed to trick recipients into divulging personal or financial information or sending money to the scammers, the sheriff's office wrote in a statement posted on social media. By being aware of these scams and following these steps, you can protect yourself from becoming a victim. The sheriff's office urges residents not to click on any links or respond to the messages, as doing so can verify a person's phone number and make them a future target. ADOT has confirmed on its website that it does not contact individuals for payment in this way. Scammers often spoof the appearance of legitimate agencies, making it difficult to distinguish fake messages from real ones. The sheriff's office encourages anyone who receives such a message to report it and to remain cautious when receiving unexpected communications requesting money or personal information. Next up, CBP officers stop cocaine smuggling attempt at San Luis Port's Sentry Lane. This is by James Gilbert, Sun staff writer, from June 24th. U.S. Customs and Border Protection officers at the Port of San Luis intercepted a drug smuggling attempt on Friday morning when a U.S. citizen attempted to bring cocaine into the country through a lane reserved for trusted travelers. The incident occurred at approximately 7:12 a.m. on June 20th in the Secure Electronic Network for Travelers Rapid Inspection, that's Sentry Lane, according to CBP officials. A 26-year-old male driving a pickup truck was referred for secondary inspection after a CBP officer noticed irregularities in the vehicle's spare tire. A drug detection canine later alerted officers to the presence of narcotics, prompting a thorough search of the vehicle. Officers ultimately discovered 50 packages of cocaine concealed throughout the truck, including in the spare tire. The total estimated street value of the narcotics is $1,317,580. The tireless efforts of our officers and drive to protect our nation in these unrelenting conditions of 100-plus degree temperatures prevented these dangerous drugs from entering our streets and communities, said Chris Leon, Area Port Director for San Luis. CBP officers seized the vehicle and drugs. The driver, a U.S. citizen whose name has not been released, was turned over to U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement's Homeland Security investigators. Next up, YMPO seeks public feedback for streets study. This article is by Josh Bootson, Sun staff writer from June 24th. The Yuma Metropolitan Planning Organization is requesting public input for a complete streets concept study that will be used for many years for the planning of roadway infrastructure improvements throughout Yuma County. Complete streets provide people of all ages and abilities with safe and comfortable travel options, including walking, biking, riding public transit, or using a personal car. The intent is to provide a network of streets that are safe and efficient for everyone, read a YMPO press release. Visit the project website, which can be found at tinyurl.com/3ys4xye5 through July 12th to review study reports and documents and provide feedback. The goals of this complete streets concept study include reducing pedestrian and bicyclist fatalities and serious injuries on all public roads, improving region-wide pedestrian infrastructure, intermodal connectivity, and access to public transit, as well as providing and maintaining an attractive and accessible system of bike facilities. Those with additional questions or concerns can reach out to YMPO Executive Director Crystal Figueroa at cfigueroa@ympo.org or visit the YMPO office at 230 West Morrison Avenue in Yuma. My obituary today, Magdalena Maggie Robles. She was born August 4th, 1938, died June 17th, 2025. She was born in Yuma, and her funeral mass and rosary will be held on July 1st at 10 a.m. at Immaculate Conception Church with burial to follow. Family and friends are welcome to attend and celebrate a life lived boldly with love and personality to spare. You're listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona and the Yuma Sun News. Next up, supervisors approve final budget and pay increases. This article is by James Gilbert, Sun staff writer from June 23rd. The Yuma County Board of Supervisors voted Monday to adopt the county's final budget for fiscal year 2025-26, approving two key resolutions that determine how public funds will be spent and how much county employees will be paid over the next year. Meeting in regular session at the county's Main Street headquarters, the board held a combined public hearing on the annual budget and the truth in taxation process, giving residents an opportunity to comment on proposed changes to primary and secondary property tax levies before formal adoption. The board then unanimously passed a resolution adopting the comprehensive county budget, which includes funding for core operations and special taxing districts such as the flood control district, public health district, jail district, library district, and various improvement districts. As you know, this is a budget that is responsible, fiscally sustainable, and representative of the goals outlined in our strategic plan, said County Administrator Ian McGoffey, who presented the final budget to the board. There's nothing in here that you haven't seen before. A second vote approved another resolution authorizing adjustments to employee compensation and program funding. Overall, the approved budget includes a 3.4% reduction in total appropriations compared to last fiscal year. Specifically, general fund expenditures, including transfers to other funds, are expected to decline by about 6.5%. That reduction is the result of strategic cost-saving measures and adjustments in staffing, not cuts to service delivery. On the revenue side, a modest increase is projected, primarily due to anticipated gains in state-shared and county sales tax, based on current economic trends. Even so, McGaughey had stressed that the county uses conservative revenue estimates to avoid overextending resources. As a rule, we always take a cautious approach to estimating our revenues, McGaughey said. It's important to keep a healthy fund balance in case of an emergency or some unexpected reduction of revenue occurs during the course of the fiscal year so that the county can continue to provide its much-needed resources to the community. The adopted budget also includes a net reduction of just over 22 full-time equivalent positions across all departments and districts. While 28 new positions were requested during the review process, none were approved for inclusion this year. McGaughey noted that many of the affected roles were vacant grant positions and efforts were made to reassign staff where possible. There were a couple of positions in the health department that were eliminated, but we were able to find other opportunities within the department for those employees, McGaughey said. Although the new positions are at a lower pay rate, we were able to keep them employed. As part of the county's ongoing compensation strategy, the board approved a 3% performance-based salary increase for eligible employees. The property tax will be unchanged. Despite the adjustment, the county's overall property tax rate will remain unchanged for the fourth consecutive year. The general fund tax rate will stay flat, and a proposed 1 cent increase to the library district's operations levy will be offset by a 1 cent decrease in its debt service levy, resulting in no net change for taxpayers. McGaughey said the board's restraint on taxes is part of a long-term approach to financial stability. For 13 years running, Yuma County has adopted tax levies well below the maximum allowed, McGaughey said. We're proud to continue that tradition. While the budget has now been finalized, one final step in the process remains, the setting of official property tax rates and special district assessment rates, which will take place at the board's August 18th meeting. McGaughey closed his presentation by thanking the budget review team, the Office of Management and Budget, department heads, elected officials, and county staff for their collaboration. He also expressed appreciation to the board for its leadership throughout the budgeting process. Yuma County remains in strong financial health, he said. This budget allows us to serve our residents, businesses, and visitors effectively in the coming fiscal year, while also securing a stable path for the future. More information on the fiscal year 2025-26 budget is available at yumacountyaz.gov. Local sports. This is an article revisiting the top 10 games of the 2024-2025 season and will cover games 3 and 4. This article is by Mac Friday, sports editor, from June 24th. Tuesday saw the continuation of the top 10 games of the 2024-25 Yuma County athletics season among the 9 local high schools and Arizona Western College. Here's the list so far. Number 10, March 17th, San Luis baseball comes back with 3-run 7th to beat Cibolas 6-5. Number 9, September 6th, Antelope keeps COFA winless with thrilling 35-34 overtime win at Irv Plaque. 8, October 10th, number 2 Yuma Catholic football gets statement win over number 5 Thunderbird to right the ship. Number 7, November 22nd, number 1 Shamrocks turn the tide against number 9 Red Wolves with 7 seconds scoring outburst. Number 6, March 6th, AWC outlasts Cochise in Region 1 semifinals at Apache Stronghold, 62-60. Number 5, 59 Yuma wrestlers compete at AIA State Wrestling Championships. Our list continues today with games number 3 and 4. Number 4, May 7th, number 3 YC softball fends off number 6 Valley Christian with Donnelly's walk-off. With two outs and a runner on third in a 3-3 ball game, number 3 Yuma Catholic junior outfielder Faith Donnelly stepped into the right-handed batter's box at her home field, determined to deliver and send her team to the 3A state semifinals. Donnelly swung and missed at strike one, likely letting the chaos of the moment weigh on her for a moment before relaxing. She fouled off pitches 2, 3, and 4, battling for her life. "It was crazy. I was trying to stay positive, but also contained in my swing," Donnelly said. "I wanted to just stay calm and focused." Donnelly, who missed her chance at contributing in last year's playoff due to a shoulder injury, made the most of her opportunity this time around, slicing a ground ball through the right side of the game-winning run. Her hit advanced Yuma Catholic to a third straight state semifinal with the 4-3 win over number 6 Valley Christian. "Faith is one of our fiercest competitors," YC head coach Jared Lackey said post-game. "That's exactly who we went up to bat in that situation. I didn't know if I was going to play again," Donnelly said of her injury and comeback. "I'm glad I was able to recover and be here today and help my team win. It's such a great feeling, and it means a lot to me." Donnelly was the cherry on top of a dramatic back-and-forth contest, which saw YC jump out to a 3-0 lead, then concede 3 runs to the Trojans before the final 2-out run in the bottom of the 7th. Catholic struck first in the bottom of the 3rd, a rally started by freshman second baseman Isabel Rodriguez, who came aboard via error. Junior center fielder Autumn Moffitt singled through the left side to set up runners on first and second with one down. Donnelly came up and reached on a ball dropped by the Trojans' right fielder, scoring Rodriguez and placing both Shamrocks in scoring position. Senior third baseman Malin Milan followed up with a single up the middle, scoring both YC runners for a 3-0 lead. The contest settled back into a normal pace with an occasional base runner until the top of the 5th rolled around and YC senior righty Cherish Trujillo found herself in choppy water. Trujillo allowed a walk and 2 singles to load the bases with nobody out. Valley's McKay Fraley singled to left, driving in 2. Trujillo manufactured an out, but got some bad luck when a line drive at Milan brought in the tying run, slotting things back at an even ball game. Valley Christian got a runner on to tie and take the lead in the top of the 7th, but the Shamrocks held on to their nerve and escaped the jam, largely due to a diving catch in center by Moffitt, which kept the score even. With 2 outs, Moffitt came up to the dish. One of the fastest players in Yuma County, she scorched around the bases after slicing a ball to left field that the Trojans outfielder lost in the sun, nearly scoring on the error, but was held up at third for Donnelly to do the rest. "We wanted to put the ball in play and make them make outstanding plays on defense," Lackey said. "Obviously, the sun kind of jacked them up there in left field, and we've known that was more or less a strategic move by us to switch to this field this year." Trujillo threw out 7 innings for Catholic, allowing 3 earned runs on 10 hits, with a trio of strikeouts and a walk. Offensively, Donnelly led YC with 2 of the team's 4 hits and the game-winning RBI. Moffitt had a hit and 2 runs scored, including the game winner. With the win, Yuma Catholic successfully avenged its loss to Valley Christian in the semifinals last year. The win over the Trojans gives the Shamrocks their 3rd straight appearance in the semis as well. My number 3 event here in this article, November 23rd, AWC women's soccer loss in WCJAA Division I National Championship 2-1. Arizona Western women's soccer made history in 2024, reaching the NJCAA D1 National Championship on November 23rd, the team's first ever appearance in the Pinnacle Showcase of the sport. AWC went 19-1-1 in 2024, suffering its first and only loss of the season against Daytona State in the championship game, which it lost 2-1 in overtime. The Lady Mats beat Eastern Arizona 2-0 in the Region 1 final, then dispatched Salt Lake CC in the West District final by a score of 2-1. At Nationals, they took down Hill College, Kansas City, Kansas CC, then beat Salt Lake for a second time in the semifinals, this time in penalty kicks to reach the national championship game. In the title game, Daytona State struck first, scoring just 5 minutes into the game, putting the Falcons in front 1-0 before the Matadors controlled possession for most of the first half. The Matadors answered to level the score in the 33rd minute. Mariani de Souza blasted a ball past the keeper from the right side of the box to tie the score at 1-1. Arizona Western then went down a player in the 72nd minute when Leah Dobbins was assessed a red card. Despite playing a player down, the Matadors controlled the remainder of regulation, but could not score a go-ahead goal. Dayton State scored 4 minutes into the first overtime period to claim the 2024 NJCAA D1 Women's Soccer Championship title, falling 2-1. AWC's Yui Suetsugu, Linka Ono, and Asa Yamazaki landed on NJCAA All-American teams for their success, with Suetsugu revealing in a first-team selection for her 21 goals in 20 games. Ono and Yamazaki made the second team. AWC Sports Information Director and Associate AD Michael Broskowski contributed to this brief. And that's our show for today. I've enjoyed my time with you. I hope you can stay tuned for the Wall Street Journal, which is next, and I hope that this week brings you a smile. Have a good day.